This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn with me, Dashran Johan. A few days ago, Jaringan Pekerja Kontrak Kerajaan JPKK has claimed that many school cleaners have had their minimum wages docked wrongfully due to the movement control order limiting the workforce capacity. The same observation was also made by Parti Socialist Malaysia. But what exactly does limiting workforce capacity have anything to do with the lowering of wages? Well, joining me on the show today to help me make sense of the issue, as well as provide some long-term and short-term solutions, is Mohanarani Rasaya, Central Committee at Parti Socialist Malaysia. Welcome to the show, Rani. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good as well. Let's get right into it, Rani. What exactly is the issue here and how did you first catch wind of it?
Okay. Actually, throughout the month of June, school cleaners have been calling us from different parts of the country and talking about how their wages might be cut because they are being asked to work on alternate days. But they were not very sure because they hadn't had any notification from their, written notification from their contractors. But the contractors had hinted at them. And then on the 28th of June, there was a press release by contractors, a contractors organization, school contractors organization, where they talked about how the government had cut down contract payments by 40%. And so for them, that would translate into 40% slash in the wages of their cleaners. That would affect 50,000 workers.
Right. Okay. So let's just, I'm still a little bit confused here. So school cleaners are receiving less pay because MCO and PKP SOPs only allow 60% of workers in terms of capacity. What's the connection here, Rani? I'm still not clear on that. How does it work exactly?
Maybe I need to give a little background.
Yes, please.
The service contract workers and the government. About 20 years ago, the government outsourced certain jobs in schools, and not just schools, but hospitals as well as all government buildings. I'll speak for schools because I'm really more familiar with that. Mm-hmm. And it's so the outsource, like, for example, we take cleaning. So these were given out to, as far as schools are concerned, hundreds of contractors, I think, in the 10,000 over schools. And so the workers were hired by these contractors at the minimum wage, which the government allocated to the contractors. So they were employed in schools under private contractors, and the government had no dealings with these workers. These workers were the responsibility of the contractors.
Right.
And the contractors got a contract fee for this. So that's how it's been working. So what happened now with the lockdown and the SOP of 60% workers only at the workplace? The contractors have also had to cut down their workers each day. So they coped in some way. They made them come on alternate days and so on. So what happened was, as far as the government was concerned, there were only 60% of the contract workforce required at the workplace, at their schools, at their premises. And so they only needed to pay for that. I suppose for them, they were thinking of it as a contract thing. And actually, for a start, we thought that the contractors were up to no good. And, but only after we read their press release, we discovered that the government itself had slashed the contract fee without recognizing the fact that these contractors actually had, in normal times, they employed let's say 10 workers. A contractor had 10 workers.
Okay.
Now he only has needs 6 workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the government will pay only for the 6 workers.
Right.
Okay. But the contractor cannot release the other workers because he doesn't know what the future will hold.
Yeah.
And might come back to the situation where the full workforce is needed. And so the way they are coping is they take the payment and they divide it out among all the workers. And so each worker gets, if your basic income is 1,100, they get 660 ringgit, or they get 720 ringgit. So this is how it works.
Why aren't they employed permanently? Why has it been like you said, for decades? Because I think when people read these kinds of news, sometimes they might go like, oh, it's this government's fault or it's that government's fault. But this seems to be like a systemic sort of thing that has been going on for a very long time. So why is it like this? Why aren't, you know, governments employing these cleaners directly? Why are they like sort of giving it to like contractors and whatnot?
That's exactly the question we're asking. We think it's wrong. We think it's an abuse of the contract system. And it's really unfortunate that the people who are on the receiving end are among the poorer sectors of society. So, as we know, cleaning is a permanent job because the schools are built to last. And we're always going to see students going through these schools. So cleaning is a job that will always be there. It's really a permanent job. Similarly, security, gardening, and so on. So, unfortunately, the government has chosen to put them on a contract basis, use the contract system. And we understand it is to, in the name of cost cutting. But actually, we did an analysis. The JPKK, Jaringan Pekerja Kontrak Kerajaan, did a study, and they found that there was no real cost cutting because they had to pay the middleman anyway. And in actual fact, I don't want to complain at this point because we are more concerned about the contract system itself. The contractors are chosen by the government. They are selected by the government, and there are many, many occasions where the contractors are also a source of the problem. So these workers are faced with two problems. One is the contract system itself that is exploitative, and then contractors themselves who squeeze the workers.
As I understand, Rani, large number of school cleaners. So this was something I felt very important that was mentioned in the Party Socialist Malaysia's press release, where you mentioned that a large number of these school cleaners are single moms. What can you tell me about this and how their lives are going to be affected by these pay cuts?
We don't have the figures, but then we think they are a significant number,
mm-hmm.
Which means that many of these, they'll be the sole breadwinners in many of the households that they are heading. And we know that they are already struggling to make ends meet. They really belong to the B20, for them, childcare can be a problem. Of course, as for other workers, all the other basic needs also need to be met. And they cannot afford to leave their jobs. Very often, they work in schools fairly near where they live so that they can, they can run back home. They can, they don't have to commute very far. And so it'll be difficult for them to move on to other jobs. And especially at this time of the pandemic, there are no jobs available for them to, switch to when they have this drop in income.
Now, when it comes to these contract workers, right, apart from salaries, do they get any benefits? EPF, SOCSO, medical benefits, things like that. Does it come with the contracts or does it depend from contract to contract? Do you know anything about this?
Okay, we know that the government payment mm-hmm. for the contracts goes towards wages, EPF, and SOCSO.
Okay.
Okay. So those are the, they're not perks actually, those are obligations, right?
Yeah.
Employment. So that is all they receive. But apart from that, there's nothing else.
On the show with me today is Mohana Rani Rasaya, Central Committee at Parti Socialist Malaysia. After the break, we'll be talking about what the government can do short-term and long-term to resolve this issue. We'll be back on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Mohana Rani Rasaya of the Central Committee at Parti Socialist Malaysia. And we're talking about the issue of school cleaners' wages being docked during the MCO. Now, Rani, before the break, we talked about, single moms specifically. But what is the impact of pay cuts towards the workers' lives in general? Because you were saying before the break that, you know, even before, you know, their wage getting deducted, some of them might be only making, you know, 1,100, 1,200. And now with this wage cut, can they even survive? Is the 700, 800 ringgit enough?
Okay, if you ask me, I think the effect of this pay cut is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
In that, as it is on their minimum wage, even their basic needs would have been difficult to meet because of rising costs. You know, the basic needs such as food, payment of rentals, utilities, transportation. You know, they'd be struggling to make ends meet for these needs. So this pay cut would further impoverish them, would touch on the basic needs that they and their children need. So they will have to, what does it mean? It means that they have less money to spend on these needs, and so they will have to cut down these needs further. And that is like, I think that is very painful. It's torturous, I think, for heads of households to cope. I think we talk about psychological stress now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially think of children, the children in these households, how the hunger and deprivation, you know, during which is for them an additional thing to the lockdown itself. How it will affect them. I think it's very bad. I think it's a devastating kind of a situation.
Hmm. Apart from these recent pay cuts, Rani, you mentioned, you know, their minimum wage and all. Do you think that itself needs to change? That pay cut, no pay cut, their pay in general needs to increase by a lot?
Yes. The minimum wage is not a living wage.
Hmm.
It's not even enough to cover living costs without the cut now. Okay, because as we know, food costs are high. You know, all basic needs, the price is high. And if you're under the contract system, it's worse because your wages don't rise at all. You know, you can go on for 20 years or 30 years working in a school, for example, and you will always be getting the minimum wage.
Really? So there's no like increments or anything like that at all?
There's no increment because that is basically the essence of contract.
Right.
That is how they intend to, they will cut costs. So these workers are on a contractual basis. Every 2 years once they will get their, they will or they will not, may or may not get their contracts renewed. So basically, as far as wage increments are concerned, there is none. Each time they come in, they are fresh workers. And so until they retire, they will always get only the minimum wage. So that is the thing about. You see, the thing is, we understand that the government is concerned about keeping wage costs low. Because and that's across the board, as far as the economy is concerned. They don't want to raise wages and get you know, like pushed out of the they're looking for investments, like foreign FDI.
Yeah.
They're looking for FDI and they don't want to be left out of that race. So each of the countries in this region are fighting a race to the bottom, actually, all each trying to give the lowest wage so as to attract FDI. So these workers are also part of the victims of this policy. And so the wages are low. See, but the thing is that we think that if you keep the wages low, you also need to, if you can subsidize some of their needs, like housing, for example, you know, transportation. If you can subsidize healthcare, for example, give them a pension, then I think it's fair to keep the wages low so that you can compete for FDI.
Yeah.
But if you deny them a proper wage, at the same time you keep costs high, how are these workers expected to survive? You see, sometimes people talk about productivity, how workers' productivity is low. But you come to think of it, if you take a cleaner, for example, we've got an example which we normally use. In cleaners in Australia, they get about 10 times more than the cleaners in Malaysia. Okay? Are we saying that they clean 10 times harder? You know, it's a joke also. That argument cannot hold. So there needs to be some kind of a restructuring, some kind of a redoing of the whole thing, where you want people across the board, workers who are working hard anyway, 8 hours, 12 hours, and so on, to live a decent life, to be able to afford a decent life. And if you are forced to keep wages low, then you have to give subsidies.
Okay, so then let's talk about the solutions, the how we can perhaps restructure this and all that. But before we talk about the long term, what do you urge the government to do right now? Now that you've heard of these, these pay cuts that are happening right now, a lot of people are surprised that they are happening in the first place. Even the workers, the contractors are surprised as well. So what can we, or what should the government do right now to solve this issue?
Okay, right now they should restore the contract payments,
mm-hmm,
so that all the workers who have been employed under the contract system for their schools will receive at least what they've been receiving until now. You know, this is right, because it also complies with the labor laws, which don't allow employers to deduct wages or to cut wages.
Right.
So, and as we can see, in all sectors, only 60% of workers are allowed to be at the workplace. And this involves government workers as well. You know, but 40% mm-hmm of whom have to stay at home. But the wages are paid. Their salaries are untouched, which is good. We agree with that.
Yeah.
Similarly, for the private sector, there is a wage subsidy program, which the government has introduced now, so as to help employers subsidize the pay of their workers. Again, another good step. But you cannot overlook or pretend not to see the workers who are going to be affected by this decision of the government. You know, when just because you're dealing with contractors, you know, and you think that it is not only the contractors who are affected. In fact, it doesn't affect the contractors, actually. But beyond the contractors, there are workers. It's high time the government recognizes that it's just a middle. They are employing a middleman. They are basically contracting out to a middleman. And mm-hmm the middleman is dealing with tens of thousands of workers. I think it's high time the government took note of that.
Yeah, certainly. Okay. So let's talk about the long-term solution here. Rani, I think you've made it very clear that you are not and party socialists is not a fan of this contract system that's been going on for 20 years. And, you know, there's a lot, it leaves the door open for abuse and whatnot, right? So how can we restructure this in the long term so that we can empower the workers as well, so that they can live, a dignified life? Like you said, you know, why is it in Australia they are getting 10 times higher? Are they like super cleaners or something? It's not. They're just cleaning the same way. So what can we do?
Okay. I think we'll not talk about raising wages.
Okay.
But keeping wages at the minimum wage, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
They should stop hiring on contract terms, especially in situations where it's very clear that the jobs involved are not of not contractual in nature, not temporary kind of employment, like say painting the school, for example, or doing a small construction, you know, which takes 3 months or 5 months. These are contract jobs. But jobs that are there, that will be there as long as the building is functioning, as long as schools are functioning, hospitals are functioning, these are permanent jobs, and the contract system should not be used for such jobs. And because we feel that this contract system actually, it might cut some costs for you, but then this is a system that breeds poverty. You know, it affects, for example, here now, for contract workers, at least 200,000 workers, contract workers in government departments who work as cleaners,
mm-hmm.
guards, gardeners, you know, all jobs that are permanent in nature. You know, so in all the government departments, this 200,000 odd contract workers and their families are affected, you know, are kept in a kind of endless poverty. And, you know, it breeds poverty in the next generation. It denies them, deprives them of a decent life. And instead of that, and see what we find the contradictory is that the government does this.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it talks about policies to lift people out of poverty.
Right.
So we think that they should just leave the contract system, not use it for jobs that are permanent in nature,
mm-hmm.
and put all these workers on a permanent job kind of a structure, job system.
Right.
So that they can get wage increments and put in a pension as well. I think the current situation, people need pensions people live longer,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they need to be looked after in their old age. So I think they should do that. It is also a good example to the private sector, because the private sector is also not fast catching up. They also have got, they're using the contract system for jobs that are permanent in nature, you know, and, mm-hmm. and the government shouldn't set up such a bad example, I think. So they should do away with the contract system and get these workers employed on a permanent basis. That will help a lot. The JPKK is always doing activities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the actions they have in mind is do a petition.
Mm.
So they might be coming up with a petition very soon, and then we'll need the support of the public to support us, to support them. So that they can have a normal life, at least to some extent.
Yeah. On that note, Rani, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Darshan.
That was Mohana Rani Rasaya. She is the Central Committee at Party Socialist Malaysia, and she was talking to me about the issue of school cleaners' wages being docked during this latest MCO. If you missed any part of the conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app or bfm.my or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Darshan Johan, and this has been Live and Learn on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.